Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Sotarasata Shri Shimare Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsako Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 10, Chapter 43, Text 2. The title of the chapter is Krishna Kills the Elephant.
Rangadwaram samasadya tasminagam avastitam apashyat kuvalayapidam Krishnam Basta Prachoditam Rangadwaram Samasadya Tasminagam Avastitam Apashyat Kuvalayapidam Krishnam Basta Prachoditam Rangadwaram samasadya tasminagam avastitam apashyat kuvalayapidam krishnam bashta prachoditam
Matajis. Ranga of the arena, dwaram, the gate.
Samasadya,
reaching.
Tasmin,
in that place.
Nagam,
an elephant.
Avastitam,
standing.
Apashyat,
he saw.
Kuvalayapidam,
named Kuvalayapida.
Krishna,
Lord Krishna.
Ambashta,
by his keeper.
Prachoditam,
urged on. Translation. When Lord Krishna reached the entrance to the arena, he saw the elephant Kuvalayapida blocking his way at the urging of his keeper. Purport. The elephant keeper revealed his malicious intent by blocking Lord Krishna's entrance into the arena. We can repeat the translation together. When Lord Krishna reached the entrance to the arena, he saw the elephant Kuvalayapida blocking his way at the urging of his keeper.
Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
This verse might seem very short with only a two-line purport, but there's so much in this lila. It's like taking a whole banyan tree with its fruits, leaves, limbs, branches, and trying to put it back into a little seed again. So I was trying to figure out how to explain all of the different layers of this particular pastime. I was praying to Krishna and Balaram how to do this, because there's so many different aspects of this Kuvalayapida Lila for us to understand. And I remember that in Ayurveda, when you're describing the body, there are seven dhatus. And each dhatu, beginning with the grossest, going down to the most subtle, has different aspects to it. So I realized that this lila can be treated just like the seven dhatus of a body. It's the body of this lila of Krishna defeating Kuvalayapida. The first dhatu is rasa. A rasa we've all heard of on the spiritual platform. Rasa means relationship, humor, taste. And rasa in Ayurveda, it's translated as plasma. But what happens is when we eat, whatever we eat turns into a fluid. And the body decides where that fluid goes. The first place it goes, it looks to see if there's a baby that needs to be fed. So if it's a woman, that rasa goes to the milk for the baby. Forget about the mother. And if anything's left over, then it goes to the mother. So the first thing we're going to try to understand in this chapter, Krishna Kills the Elephant, are the different rasas that are going to be presented. And the acharyas give, and also the slokas give, 10 rasas that will be described here in this arena, the rangashala. The first being Rodra, which is the first one that we're experiencing here. Anger. Anger meaning, here's the ambashta, the mahout, the elephant keeper. He has been instructed by his master Kamsa that as soon as you see these two boys, you goad this elephant so that the elephant will kill the boys immediately, because Kamsa was in so much fear. Now, after this anger comes the Adbhut. Now, some acharyas say, also we'll hear in this chapter, that at the entrance, which is where this whole pastime took place, the spectators in the galleries, they were able to see what was happening between Krishna and Balaram and the elephant keeper. And as they were watching this pastime, they were rising and falling like waves in their seats, because they were seeing how Krishna was playing and tormenting and teasing the elephant until he finally killed him. The next is Shringar. Shringar is when the women saw what was happening, they became mortified because the immoral activities of Kamsa were forcing him to first try to kill Krishna Balaram with the elephant, and then if that didn't work, to have the five wrestlers try to kill them. So the ladies wanted to stand up and leave right away. But seeing the beauty of Krishna and Balaram, they were frozen at their seats, and they started appreciating amongst each other their beauty, their pastimes, and the different glories of Vrindavan and the Brijbasis, how they were able to see Krishna and Balaram every day. And here in Mathura, we're afraid to even chant the name of Krishna because Kamsa will kill us. Then after the Shringar comes the Hasya, because along with Krishna Balaram had sent Nanda Maharaj and the older cowherd men ahead of him because he wanted to go take bath in the Jamuna. He wanted some purification in case the day before, when he had broken the bow and killed all of the policemen and soldiers and guards, there was any type of prayaschitta. So he went to take bath. Then he dressed himself very nicely, and he came later. And the boys were with him. And when they saw this pastime unfolding, because they had seen Krishna kill so many demons before, it was a daily activity for them. For them, it was like a comedy show. They were laughing. Hasya. Then after Hasya comes Vira, because in the spectator grounds were the great warriors and the vassals and the people, the rulers, who were all subordinate to Kamsa. And they were seeing the chivalry of Krishna and Balaram, how expert they were, how just like playing with a toy, they were playing with this elephant that was as strong as 10,000 elephants. Then, for the first time in 12 years, Daya, because Kamsa was sure that his plans would work, in 10th canto, 36th chapter, Kamsa revealed his demoniac plan to Akrura. He had everything worked out. First, I'll call them. I'll make it a very, very attractive invitation that they won't be able to refuse to see the wrestling match. I'll make this wrestling match so beautiful and attractive, they won't suspect anything. They'll think they're coming to enjoy. But I'll plant Kuvalayapit at the entrance. Kuvalayapit will certainly kill them. But if by chance they get past Kuvalayapit, I have my five wrestlers. They have to kill them. There's no one who's ever defeated them except for me. And then, of course, if something happens, then there's me. I can also kill them. So Kamsa had in his mind a whole plan. And the parents, he thought his plan was, and he told Akrura, he said, after I kill the two boys, I'm going to kill Vasudev and Nanda, and I'm going to kill Ugrasen, because they're all my enemies. So he had a big plan in front of him. So therefore, he let Vasudev and Devaki come out of the prison because he was planning to kill Vasudeva after he killed Krishna and Balaram. They were sitting in the spectator gallery. So they got to see their sons for the first time. So all of the mercy and the love that they had was overflowing in them when they saw their boys enter the arena. After that comes Bayanak. Bayanak was Kamsa himself. Not only was he fear personified for other people, but seeing Krishna and Balaram, he became so fearful all day and night. His whole life, he was just thinking of these two boys from his previous birth. We've heard about that many times now. As Kalanimi, he had fought with Vishnu. Vishnu killed him, and then Sukracharya brought him back to life. When he was brought back to life, he could still only think of killing Vishnu. So then he did tapasya, and after that tapasya, he got a boon that he couldn't be killed by any of the demigods. He couldn't understand that Vishnu wasn't a demigod. Then he took birth as Kamsa. Even in this lifetime, he was just thinking in fear of when will Krishna come. After that, there's Bibhatsa. Now, the common people, when they saw Krishna enter the arena, first of all, Krishna was wearing the clothes of the king that he had stolen the day before. And by the time he entered the arena, they had tusks on their shoulders. They were splattered with blood and ichor and perspiration. And they were thinking, look at these nomadic forest dwellers. What are they doing in this arena? So Bibhasha, they were just disgusted by these two little boys who had entered. After that comes Shanta. Now, when the yogis and the saints heard that their object of meditation was coming to Mathura, they all came there also to see him. So they were seeing Krishna and Balaram as Vishnu himself, who had come out of their hearts. Now they were getting his darshan. And last, topmost, were the Vrishnis, who had prema bhakti for Krishna and Balaram. When they saw Krishna and Balaram for the first time, all of their love, they just immersed them. They were seeing them with their eyes. They were licking them with their tongues. They were smelling them. They were embracing them in their minds. All their bhakti came out by seeing them. So these 10 rasas are what's going to be explained in this lila. Now, from rasa, what does come into the body forms rakta. Rakta, we know, is blood, and that circulates all over the body. So in Krishna's pastimes, this rakta is the flow of his pastimes. For the last 2 months, we have been discussing 2 days in Krishna's life, the Dwadasi and the Trayodasi. Dwadasi was a very big day. In the morning, Krishna killed Keshi. Then Narada Muni came. He predicted all the things that Krishna was going to do. Then Akrura came. He killed Vyomasura. He met with Akrura. They discussed what their plan was going to be. So this Dwadasi we spent almost a month on. Then the next day, when Krishna left, all of the heartbreak of the Brijbasis, what happened at Akrura Ghat, when they finally entered, in the evening, asking directions, how Krishna broke the bow that evening. So these 2 days have taken us 2 months to discuss. Now we're on the big day, that Shivratri, that Chaturdasi. Now Kamsa's plan was that they were going to have the Dhanur Yagya on that day. Well, his plan was foiled because the day before Krishna said, you think that's something special that I did by breaking that bow? That bow was so old, there were so many termites in it, all I did was touch it and it fell to pieces. This is when Shanura was saying, we know you're not a little boy. He said, no, really, I just touched it. So this bow was given to Kamsa by Parshuram. Now, Parshuram said that this bow is the bow of Vishnu. But Kamsa, he was worshiping as his Ishtadev. You can go there right now and see him. He's still there for darshan. Rangeshwar Mahadev. So from this rakta is formed monks. Monks means our muscles, that which forms the body. So that takes us now to the place of the pastimes, and that's Mathura. We know that in Braj, Lord Shiva being the greatest devotee of the Lord, he's protecting all of Braj in four corners, Chakleshwar, Nandeshwar, Kameshwar, and here in Vrindavan, Gopeshwar. He's making sure that none of the demons can enter, especially in Nandagram, where Krishna and Balaram live. Now, he's making double sure in Mathura. In each of the gates of Mathura, he's also sitting. In the south, he's sitting as Rangeshwar, Mahadev. He's sitting as Bhuteshwar. He's sitting as Gokarneshwar here on the road here. And he's sitting as Pipalaeshwarnath. He is very careful because this is the supreme abode where Krishna appears. And all of the devotees come here too. So Ranganath, Kamsa worshipped Ranganath. And that was why he made this entire arena right at the temple of Ranganath. You can go on the main road just near Holy Gate. You go in a little alley underground. You'll see the Ranganath deity. And just past that, Kamsa created the whole munch, the Rangamunch, where the big wrestling match was going to be. There was a huge empty arena. He had galleries for the public. He had special places of sitting for the rulers. He had his own on the topmost place. That's called Kamsatila. It's still there. You go there, you go up this little hill, that's where Krishna killed Kamsa. Everything is still there. So anyone who thinks that this is mythology, we will take them there step by step. They can see all these places. So after the Mangsa comes the Meda, which is the fatty part, the juicy part. And that's the Leela. So now we're starting the Leela. Krishna and Balaram and their friends, they've just arrived at the entrance of the arena. All of the spectators are already sitting in their seats. Kamsa is up above everyone else with his foremost rulers sitting by him. Nanda Maharaj, although Kamsa told him that you are the foremost of all of my village leaders, Kamsa made no place for him to sit. So he had to sit with the common people far away. So Nanda Maharaj is sitting there, all the cowherd men, they're all there. Enter Krishna, and just according to Kamsa's plan, Kuvalayapida is there. Now Kuvalayapida, he was being goaded. Such a powerful elephant does not have just one mahout. There's one mahout sitting on his neck, and he has this very sharp hook that he digs into the elephant. The elephant is already maddened. He's in rut. When an elephant becomes mad, it's not seasonal like most of the other animals. They have hormones, and on their forehead, they have two holes between their eyes and their ears. And from out of these two holes comes a hormone, a fluid called ichor. It's very fragrant, and it flows down their faces. And the swelling of these glands, what the ichor is produced from, causes such pain in their heads that they become mad. First of all, from sensual excitement, and second of all, from the pain. So this elephant, he was in that state. He was maddened just by nature. And the mahout, he was pronging him with this hook, prodding him forward to become even more angry. The word in this sloka is Prachoditam. Now, when we chant the Gayatri Mantra three times, we say the word Prachodayat. It's the same word. We are being enthused by our Guru, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by the Supreme Lord himself. This poor elephant, he was being enthused, inspired, goaded by this cruel-hearted Mahout who was taking instructions from Kamsa, his ruler. And Kuvalyapida, when the two boys entered, the boy said, Krishna said, Ambashta, Ambista. It's a mixed caste. And these Mahouts, they come from this caste. He's addressing him with determination. First time with determination. Second time with anger. So don't block the way. This is a great offense. Let us enter the arena. Now Krishna, because he had all these nice clothes, first of all, he was trying to hide the fact who he was. And he was dressing in the very nice clothing, not looking like he was any type of a challenge to the Mahout or to the elephant. But when he saw that the elephant keeper was not going to let him pass, he realized then there was going to be a fight. So originally he had his turban, just like Krishna and Balaram wear. They have their hair coming down to their shoulders, very nicely, curly hair. They have their ornaments. They have their sandalwood pulp. They have very nice upper and lower cloth. So Krishna decided now it's going to be a fight. So what did he do? He took his hair and he wrapped it up and wrapped his turban around it. First of all, because when you're fighting, you don't want your hair going everywhere. He didn't want his hair to get messed up. And second of all, because he was going to be killing some demons, he wanted them to have full darshan of him at the time of death. He didn't want his hair to get in the way. So he tied up his hair, and then he took his cloth. He had a garland. He took his garland, he threw it over his shoulder. He didn't want it to get ruined also. He had to, because he had more to do after killing the elephant. Then he tied up his upper cloth around his dhoti, so that he could really move around easily. And then he was ready. So Kuvalyapida, elephants, they can't see past the tip of their trunk. So Kuvalyapida could see him. And Krishna was playing. He's a young boy. First he's in front of him. Then he slips in between the elephant's legs and starts going towards backwards, pulling his tail, dragging him for 25 yards by the tail, then coming forward again, standing in front of Kuvalyapida, then falling down. Kuvalyapida sees him on the ground. How fast can a big elephant move? So when he goes, he sees Krishna there. Krishna quickly jumps up, but by that time, Kuvalyapida had targeted his tusks right into the place where he saw Krishna. His tusks get caught in the ground. Now, this is Krishna's excuse for how he didn't kill Kuvalyapida. He said, I didn't do anything. Kuvalyapida, he was trying to attack me. He pushed his tusks into the ground. They got stuck in there. He's going from side to side. He falls over. The tusks break off. When the tusks break off, it's like all your teeth falling out. From the pain, he died. When he rolled over, the Mahout was right under him, and he got crushed to death. I was just standing there. I was completely innocent. He explained this to Chanura. Chanura said, you just killed the elephant. No, I didn't kill the elephant. His tusk got caught. He killed himself. And so far as the Mahout is concerned, when a big animal dies, who cares about the bugs on their body? Automatically they die. So this is the Leela. Then from the Leela, we have Asti, the bones. There's from the fat, there's the muscles, then there's the fat, and then there's the Asti, the bones. Now, Asti has another meaning. Kamsa had two wives, Asti, Prapti. Now, how did he get those wives? It was all had to do with this Leela. Jarasandha, we know he's from Magad. His father, Brihadratha, he was a pious king, and one sage came to him, Chandra Koshika. He had two wives who he loved them dearly. They were the daughters of the king of Kashi. And the sage gave him a fruit so that he could have a son by his wives. So what the king did, because he loved the wives equally, he cut the fruit in half, gave one half to one wife, one half to the other wife. They ate it. When they gave birth, there was a half a baby from one body, half a baby from the other body, and the king didn't know what to do. He threw the two halves into the forest. And then a demoness living in the forest said, "Oh, this is nice breakfast for me." She took the two halves, the two babies, she was ready to eat them, just playfully, she put them together. Boom, the baby starts to cry, it comes to life. She brings the baby to Brihadratha. He thanks her. He's so grateful to her, he names the baby after her. Her name was Jara. So Jarasandha, she joined the two together. So that's Jarasandha. Jarasandha was a very demoniac, powerful king who worshipped Kalabhairava. And he was wandering around collecting kings. He wanted to do a human sacrifice, 10,000 kings. So as he was wandering, he went to the Vindhyachala, and he saw this magnificent, like a mountain itself, this elephant. And he got hundreds of other elephants to capture this elephant. That was where Kuvalayapida took birth. And he captured Kuvalayapida. And after his conquest in different places, they were heading back to Magadha. They passed through Mathura. They were resting by the Jamuna very peacefully. And suddenly the elephant goes mad. He starts crushing the soldiers. He starts breaking the tents. He's going everywhere. The people are running in all directions. No one knows how to control the elephant. And it just so happens that Kamsa with his friends are sitting under a tree nearby. And the elephant comes rushing to Kamsa. Kamsa just grabs his trunk, whirls him around, throws him down, and ties him up. And Jarasandha was so impressed. He said, "I've never seen anyone so powerful. I must marry him to my two daughters." So therefore, Kamsa got as his dowry Kuvalayapida, along with the two wives. And they all came to live in Mathura together, very happily. So now Kuvalayapida was here. This is the ashti part. Now, inside of the bones is something called majja. Majja means the marrow that goes in the bones. It's also the nervous system. So this nervous system, who is Kuvalayapida? How did he become so powerful? How is it that he had the great fortune of being killed by Krishna and Balaram? So we go back then to Maharaj Bali, to Prahlad Maharaj, who is the grandfather of Maharaj Bali. Krishna, Nrisimhadev, promised Prahlad Maharaj, "I will not kill any of your descendants." So Bali Maharaj, being the grandson, he also had several sons. One of his sons, very powerful, his name was Mandagati. Mandagati was a very, very great wrestler. So powerful, like 10,000 men. But being the son of Maharaj Bali, who was a devotee, he decided to go one day for darshan at Ranga Kshetra to see Ranganath Swami. So just like here, we have crowds. And sometimes in the crowds, you will find a very, like, intoxicated man, and he doesn't want to wait in line, and he starts pushing people. So Mandagati, thinking himself very important and very powerful, while he's at Ranga Kshetra, in the middle of the crowd, he starts pushing the people. He wants to go in front of everybody else. And he's pushing them down like they're little pieces of grass. And while he's pushing the people down, there was an old sage. His name was Tritamuni. And he got pushed down. Now, Tritamuni could understand that this was all coming from Mandagati. So he cursed him. He said, "You're just like a foolish, stupid, strong elephant. I curse you to become an elephant." So Mandagati, he could understand that he's finished now. He started, just like a snake comes out of his skin, he started coming out of his body, and he goes praying to Tritamuni. He said, "Please, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please take back your curse." Tritamuni said, "I can't take back my curse, but I can give you a blessing." He said, "You will be killed by the hands of Krishna in Mathura, and you will attain liberation." So this same Kuvalayapida, he then took birth, Mandagati took birth as Kuvalayapidi in Vindachala. He was captured by Jarasandha. Jarasandha brought him to Mathura, and here he is now, face to face. He's death personified, and Krishna's also death personified. And who's going to win? We know who's going to win. So, now we come to the most subtle of all the elements in the body. We hear every time a demon is killed, whoever's giving class, they'll refer to the Chaitanya Sikshamrita, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, about who the different demons represent. So this representation, Kuvalayapida, who is he? Who is that demon in our heart that when we're chanting Hare Krishna fervently and admit that we have no power of our own and only the holy name can protect us from the demons in our heart? Which demon, which demoniac influence is Kuvalayapida? That influence is called Unmada. Unmada means total madness. It means such a strong urge for sense gratification that you actually enjoy losing control of yourself. You forget what you're doing. And just to get that sense gratification, you will do anything. You will even kill. So this is when an elephant is in rut, when the ichor is coming from his temples, when he can't even see in front of him, but he's so mad with lusty desire. They even sometimes kill their mate because they can't control their own senses. This is Unmada. This is the sukra, most subtle aspect of this very important lila that's going on now, the killing of Kuvalayapida. If we want to subdue this Unmada, which is actually uncontrollable in this world, because this is the reason why we all come here, just to enjoy this. This is the Adiras, both in the spiritual world and in the material world. We've all come here to enjoy this Unmada. And if we pray when we're chanting, "Krishna, please protect me from my own madness. Only you can save me from this," then Krishna will kill this Kuvalayapida in our heart, and we will be saved from this madness of lust, anger, greed, to satisfy our senses any way, anyhow, even at the point of killing others. So this is the Kuvalayapida lila, the whole body, and we will go through sloka by sloka the wonderful unfolding of this pastime. This is just at the entrance. The wrestling hasn't even started. Krishna and Balaram, they're just playing with the toy elephant at the gate, just to give their friends a little enjoyment. And because they want to attract the attention of all the spectators, they are dressed very nicely. Now they have some new ornaments. They have perspiration, which makes them shiny. They have blood splattered on them from the elephant that looks like ornaments, bracelets and necklaces. They have the ichor. The ichor is very fragrant, like musk. So now they've further ornamented themselves after the killing of Kuvalayapida. And when they enter that gate and everyone sees them in the Rangashala, they, according to those 10 rasas that we started with, they will all see Krishna and Balaram in a different rasa, some with anger, some with Shringara, some with comedy, some with daya, some with vira, some with bibhatsa, some with bayanak. That's Kamsa. He is fear personified. He is so afraid. Because the day before, when that bow was broken, Parshuram warned him, "I give you this bow. With this same bow, Kamsa and his friends and his servants, they were able to go to Amravati and conquer the demigods." The demigods were also watching this entire show when Kuvalayapida was killed. They were afraid of Kuvalayapida. They were standing motionless. They couldn't close their eyes, so they couldn't even sleep out of fear of Kuvalayapida. But Kamsa understood from the day before, when Parshuram told him, "Whoever breaks this bow, he will kill you." So he had the bow. He thought he was invincible. Enter Krishna and Balaram. Now, we're just reading Krishna's name here. But Krishna and Balaram, they were just like the body and the shadow. Everything that Krishna was doing, Balaram was right along with him, just like the shadow goes with the body. That's why you'll see in many of the paintings, even when Krishna was killing Kamsa, Balaram was right there. So Balaram, he was intoxicated with this combat spirit after having killed Kuvalayapida. They were both ready to fight, and they were so angry at Kamsa. His offenses. Krishna looked at Kamsa. He said, "Who is he? He's like a snake who eats his own children. What heroic activity has he performed? He just kills some newborn babies? That's his heroism?" So he knew what a coward Kamsa was. He said, "If you're such a great ruler, why did you send Kuvalayapida to be killed by me? Why have you sent the wrestlers to be killed by me? Why don't you come to the entrance and fight with me?" Krishna could understand that this Kamsa was nothing but a coward. And when Krishna was sitting on that first day there, the Dwadasi, he was thinking, "I've killed all the demons now in Braj." Because Brahma had predicted, second canto, he gave a list of all of the demons that Krishna was going to kill. Kuvalayapida was also there. And Krishna was saying, "I've killed them all now. There's nobody left in Kamsa's ministry. His cabinet is empty. He only has Kuvalayapida now. And he has some insignificant wrestlers. So how am I going to do my mission? My pastimes are over here now in Vrindavan. I've killed all the demons. Now I have to go. I have to liberate my parents. How am I going to get to Vrindavan?" Then Narada Muni comes. He says, "Akura is coming. He's going to bring you Vrindavan. You'll be able to carry out your pastimes there." So all of this is being done in a beautiful dance by Krishna and Balaram together. When we go back to the very first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to the questions being asked by the sages, what did they ask? They told the speaker, Suta Goswami. They said, "We want to hear the pastimes of Ram and Keshava." They never separated the two. We want to hear about their activities when they pretended to be human beings. They were wading through all these 9, 10 cantos now. to hear these escapades of Krishna and Balaram. And the sages are listening, we're listening, the whole world is listening to all the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram now. As they go through their Vrindavan Leela, now their Mathura Leela, then their Dwarka Leela, as it becomes less and less perfect, until they finally come back to supreme perfection when they return to Vrindavan and then take everyone back to Godhead with them. So we are right in the midst, right at the entrance, the first day that Krishna actually is in Mathura. He kills Kuvalayapida, he kills the five wrestlers, and he kills Kamsa. That's a very good accomplishment for one day. And we'll probably spend the next month hearing all these wonderful pastimes. So if anyone has any questions. If not, we'll go on. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. This is a very important thing, like you mentioned, that one gets in Unmada,
yes.
If somebody gets in a bad situation and he forgets, like, sometimes it happens, like, I mean, to not pray to Krishna and not knowing about it.
Happens to everybody. You don't have to explain it.
How can one overcome that?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. It's the only thing. Two of them. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. You need two of them to overcome it. Okay, so we'll hear a little more. Because these pastimes are so wonderful. Waiting inside of the gate are the five wrestlers. They're all brothers. They're brothers from Mahishmati Puri, the king. They're his sons. And they were also, in their previous life, they were Brahmins. They were the sons of a great Mahamuni in Amaravati Puri. But they weren't interested in chanting their japa or attending the Bhagavatam classes. They wanted to go to the gym every day. Right? Anybody like that here? You see all the gyms opening up now in Vrindavan, right? That's for the brahmacharis who don't want to sit in Bhagavatam class. So they went to the... Where was the gym? It was at Bali Maharaj's palace, where all the kshatriyas were learning how to wrestle. So they would skip class, they wouldn't chant their japa, they'd go over to Bali Maharaj's palace. Bali Maharaj was a demon. He was the enemy of the demigods. They would slip over there, and they wanted to learn wrestling. So when their father found out that they were leaving, they weren't doing any of their brahminical duties, he cursed them, their own father, for their own good. Because that's rasa. They're favorable and they're unfavorable. Krishna, he's like fire. Anyone who comes in contact with him, they become purified. So the father cursed the sons as a punishment. So you want to be wrestlers? You take birth as wrestlers. And by demoniac association, you'll become demoniac wrestlers also. So they took birth. And Kamsa, he had a bigger plan than just killing Krishna. He wanted to take over the whole universe. He was wandering around collecting the demons, particularly in Bangabhumi. Most of the demons came from Bangabhumi. Bangabhumi was not a part of Vedic India at that time. And most of you, 9 out of 10 demons came from Bangabhumi site. So he was wandering and he came to Mahishmati Puri, which is in Madhya Pradesh. He went to visit the king and he challenged the five brothers. He said, I will wrestle you. If I win, you will become my servants. If you win, I will become your servant. So who won? Kamsa won. He won just like all the other demons. He took them back to Mathura. They all became his servants. And his plan was collect all the demons, either make them my servants or make them my friends. The very, very powerful demons like Sambara, Narakasura, Dvivida, he made friends with them. He couldn't conquer them. And he collected all of the demons he had conquered that were part of his ministry. And by the way, Chanura said, "You've done a great service to our king. You killed all of the useless ministers that Kamsa just had to feed every day. So now Kamsa wants you to become their ministers." So she said, "Yes, I'm very happy to do that. In fact, I'll give him the post of Indra, which means he'll send him to heaven, he'll kill him." So when Kamsa collected all the demons, he attacked Indra. This is why the demigods were so afraid of Kamsa, Kuvalayapida. They were standing and watching. They couldn't do anything. All they could do was shower some flowers. They couldn't sleep. They couldn't talk. They were just standing like statues watching all of this because they had already been defeated by Kamsa. So when Kamsa, he had to bring back some booty. He brought back the whole asan, singasan. He brought back the umbrella. He was sitting like the king of heaven already. But he wasn't the king of heaven. Krishna was going to send him to a much better place. Kamsa, his eight brothers, everyone who got to see Krishna at the time of death, because Krishna was right in his face, they all got sarupya mukti because Kamsa was meditating on the form of Krishna all the time. He was like the worms. You'll see the wasps. They lay their egg into a worm, and the wasp baby develops inside of the worm, and the worm gets transferred. He gets transformed into a wasp. So the worm is always meditating on that wasp, and he becomes a wasp. So that worm, Kamsa, he got transformed into Sarupya Rup. He and his brothers, they all went back to Vaikuntha as the servants of Vishnu, and they all got their forearm forms. So in this Rasa Leela, this is a different type of Rasa Leela. When everyone, both favorable rasas and unfavorable rasas, they all got liberation, they all got benediction from Krishna. Either they were liberated as demons, went back to Vaikuntha, went back to the heavenly planets, or they were liberated as devotees and went back to the spiritual world. So we, although we're just worm-like, and we don't know what our rasa is, if we just meditate on Krishna, if we keep Krishna Balaram in front of us, hopefully at the time of death we'll be practiced enough that we can remember them, chant their names, and they'll take us to the supreme destination that we're all aspiring for. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.